for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Monday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 4th, 2011. Gene Williams is the speaker of this service, teaching on overcoming depression.
We just want to welcome her, first time here, I believe, and we're excited. Gene?
Thank you. Can you hear me? Hello, everyone. My name is Jean Williams, and this is my first time being here. And I am truly, truly grateful to be here today. I know that God has been moving mightily so far, and I know He's going to continue His work. Amen? But I just want to give you a little bio of myself. My name is Jean Williams again, and I'm married and have one biological son and four stepchildren. I'm retired military of 21 years. I know a lot of people, when they see me, you was in the military? You? And to make it so bad, I was a platoon sergeant. So had 30 to 40 troops in front of me. So God took this shy little black girl, put her into the military, and I became a leader. Amen? And I remember when I was coming up, I was raised in a Christian home, and my mother always gave me the 91 song to read every morning. And the reason she gave me that song is because I was the very shy little girl. Everyone picked on me. I was a victim of bullying. And I have a long nose, as you can see. And my father is Italian. My mother is African American. And out of all five of the kids, I'm the only one with the long nose after my father. And so when I was in school, I used to get picked at all the time about my nose and how I look. And that brought a complex about myself. And what that did, that made me not want to be around people. I had a hard time presenting myself to people. It took years and years before I got delivered. A crowd of people can be standing. If I had to come in here many years ago and you all were sitting here, I would sit to the back. I would not come in. The spirit of fear was so rooted in me from all the rejection and how people treated me. And it just always was something. And I used to go home and run and cry to my mom and say, why do they do this? Why do they treat me this way? Why do I look different? What is about me? And she gave me the 91 song and told me to get it in my spirit and to always keep it in my heart and apply it. And this day, the 91 song has become a powerful song in my life today. And as I stand before you today, the 91 song still works. It still works. I have to still take the 91 song to apply to my situation, to my circumstances, or whatever come my way. Amen. But anyway, when I first joined the military and was stationed in Fort Benning, Georgia, I began to start having problems with partying, hanging out with the wrong people, and just doing all kind of different things like we all have done. And what I was really having a problem with was finding me, finding myself, my identity. I found myself wanting to be like everybody. I wanted to dress like this individual. I wanted to talk. I wanted to speak with simplicity. It was a lot of times the enemy would speak to me and say, you weren't worthy. You are not worthy to even speak. You are stupid. You are dumb. And these words that I carried for so many years. And it took a long time for me to realize that God loves me just as I am. He made Gene. I don't have to be like nobody. If I don't speak with such powerful words or such simplicity words, I'm okay. And I find myself now in the ministry running into women who have been through the same thing that I have been through. So God had delivered me so I can give my testimony to others. So as I stand here today to tell you, you are beautiful. You are wonderfully made. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. The enemy is a liar. He is the father of all lies. He was back then and he still is today. Amen. So I find myself in a position now where I am more of an encourager. You know, I'm encouraging people and I love it so dearly from my heart. So dearly from my heart, because I can put myself in a position of others who have been abused. And especially those kids that are going through bullying in school today. When I hear or look at TV and see where a child has committed suicide because of someone bullying them, telling them that they're nobody and just hitting them, that hurts my heart. That truly hurts my heart. So I asked the Lord today, what do you want me to talk about? And he really hasn't given me the go ahead to what I have on paper. And so I'm a true believer in moving by the Holy Spirit, because he knows what each and every one of us needs. We plan everything what we're going to talk about. But when we let God lead and guide and direct our lives, he does it just how he wants to. Amen. I had wanted to talk about depression. And I had wrote down a lot of things about depression. But if God allows me to go that way, I will go that way. But I want to give a little testimony of what happened to me that led me into depression some years ago. Some years ago, I was driving a car. And I heard the Spirit. I used to hear God's voice all the time, but I didn't quite understand the difference of how to adjust it. So anyway, I heard this voice say, "Don't turn left, go right." I turned left anyway, and as I began to approach down the street, this car, we hit dead head on. It damaged the nerves in my body so bad that a Valium couldn't put me to sleep. It shook me up. It frightened me. And I was on Valium for a period of time trying to sleep and never could sleep. So the doctor said that they wanted to put me on something stronger. I refused to take anything stronger. But this particular night, my mother said they was having a prayer meeting at her church. But remind you, I wasn't going to church like I supposed to. I was out there in the world doing in and everything that I was big enough or bad enough to do. Amen. But anyway, when she invited me that night to come to church, my son, you know, he kept saying, "Mama, come on, come on, I want you to go, come on, I want you to go." And the spirit of fear seized me so bad that I began to start having heart palpitation and like I was going to faint, fall out. My hands sweats a lot, but they were sweating, I mean, just pouring water. I can take them just pretty much and splash it in your face. And my feet, and I was saying, "Oh, God, I don't think I'm going. But my mom was so persistent about me going. So finally, when I got to the church, it was crowded with people. So me and my son, we sat in the back of the church. And I said, "No, I'm not going up there. I'm not going." So this pastor was there, and he said, "Is there anybody who wants to be saved? Walk down this aisle today. God is here to deliver you from all your sins. He is faithful to forgive you whatever you have been in." So I was like, "Oh, God, I don't think I want to go." So this particular night, my son grabbed me. He said, "Mama," he said, "I want to go." I said, "You don't want me to go." He said, and he was making a noise, and I didn't want everybody's eyes to be on us. And I was like, "Boy," he said, "Mommy, I want to go up there." So we got in the line. The line was way to the back. We got in the line. So when I got right here, turning this way, took me to the altar. And he ran back to my mother. So what could I do? I couldn't just run either. So I said, "Okay." I said, "Okay, God, I got it." So I just stand and just gave it all that night. And that night, immediately, God delivered me off of Valium. He just did a totally turnaround for my life. And as I stand to you today, I've been running for God ever since. I don't plan to go back. I have no other choice. I want to live my life totally for Jesus. Amen. I love deliverance ministry. I would not have it any other way. I mean, deliverance is the children's bread. God said he has given us this. He has given, this is our strength. This is for us to go and do the work of the Lord. And I realize today that the trick of the enemy is for us not to get into deliverance. And what I have found going out into the ministry with my husband, especially over into the Caribbean, what I learned about those dear people is that they know about deliverance and they receive it with such heartfelt. I mean, they are like waiting, can't wait to get delivered. And when you in an environment such as that, the Holy Spirit is right and ready to move. And when you have an atmosphere of readiness upon you, then the Holy Spirit can move as He pleases to move. Amen? And what I have found as well is that we in America, and I say in some churches, I have found that they want a type of deliverance that is conformed to their way. They want a cute, sweet way of deliverance. And if you don't bring it into their perspective, then you cannot come into their church and do deliverance. We had almost got into an argument, with a pastor. And we was talking about, can a Christian have a demon? And he just went, totally out, and so much he didn't believe. And he didn't want to say a Christian can have a demon. He wanted to say a Christian have issues. Exactly. So he wanted to put it in, a sweet way, of a form of a fashion. And I told him, I don't care how you put it. It still is what it is. I don't care what you call it. It's still a demon. And that's what's wrong with us now, that we want to put a bandage on it and we want to, dress it up for the world. But God said no. He said do not add or change His word. And if God said that we have a Christian can have a demon, then we can have a demon. That's what the Bible said. But again, I have ministered with my husband many times in the ministry. I'm really not a woman of many, many words, but when deliverance takes place, that's when God moves, for me. But I love doing ministry and I love teaching ministry, and I know that a lot of times that as soon as I get up to the platform and try to start ministry, that's when the enemy tried to come in and try to put fear back in me. But anyway, on my way coming here, I had two things that happened to me. Even when I was preparing the message on depression, when I was finished halfway up with my message on depression, I had went to the mailbox and I got a letter in the mail. And I have some property down in South Florida that a lawyer is suing me for, which I thought was resolved back in 91, which it should have been, and I have all the paperwork stating that all this should be done. And I knew that was the enemy trying to throw me off track and trying to get me on focus of what God has for me to come here. So 2 days prior to coming here, I'm in school online full time, and the school was paying my tuition for the last 2.5 years. And I get an email from them saying that they no longer can pay my tuition, and I have 6 classes left. So it's my responsibility. So, I decide, I say, Lord Jesus, I'm not going to be moved by what the enemy is trying to do to me, because I know that when we get to Lake Hamilton, you are going to move awesome. And I know you're going to move mightily. And I know that these were snares, these were plots, these were schemes of the enemy, and I'm not going to let it get in my spirit to detour me. So my husband was like, do you want to call? I said, no, I'm not going to even entertain it. So when I get back, then I know God already has done the plan for me. Amen. But I don't want to further talk about what's going on with me. I want to go ahead and talk about a little bit of depression of what God has given me. What I have found out is that ministering God's word and interacting with a lot of people, I have noticed that a lot of saints are being depressed. And I'm finding that it's more saints depressed than the non-Christians. And I said, and I go to God and I say, Lord, why? Why? And I realized that we are living in a time, yes, the economy, is messed up, but the economy is not for the saints. And we have to realize that God has given us dominion and has given us power. And if we allow the enemy to take precedent, to detour our thinking and our way of life and not believing that God can do anything, then we'll find ourselves being depressed. I know many times that all of us are going to go through some things. All of us have been through things. Each one of you here today is probably going through some things. Amen? We know that God is a deliverer. So what I did was I said, Lord God, let me find a definition for depression. I know that psychologists say you can medicate it, but God said we cast it out, the spirit of depression. Amen? So I want to read a part of the dictionary of what it says about depression. It said depression is a state of feeling sad, an emotional disorder marked by sadness, inactivity, difficulty in thinking, concentration, feelings of dejection, which means lowness of spirit, occasionally comes by grief or mental depression. All of these is of the devil. God said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what I have learned here, even in my walk with the Lord, is that the scriptures has to come alive. They has to come alive. And we must study the word of God daily in order for God to bring it back to our remembrance. Long as we are living here on this earth, there are going to be trials and tribulations. And I believe that, I forget the scripture, but it says, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us from all. So we're going to go through some afflictions, but God is faithful to deliver us. Amen. God is faithful to deliver us. You know, I have many people come up and they ask and say, well, how do you get into the deliverance ministry? You know, I believe that if you pray and you seek God for directions to send you to a church that actually moving in deliverance, then God is faithful to make sure that you get the training that you need to be effective to be a deliverer, right? So what I did that when I met my husband, I really didn't know that much about deliverance, but my husband was in deliverance like 21 years. And so what happened is when God hooked us up together, he became my trainer. You know, he began to train me in the ministry, and we work alongside closely doing deliverance. And I thank God for that, because that was one of my prayers that I had been asking God. I asked God, I said, Lord, don't send me no man that you don't want me to have. Send the man you want me to have. Because if Gene picked that man, then it's going to be somebody that's totally not for me. It's going to be like we women used to like it, pumped up iron, you know, pumped up iron or whatever. And I said, Lord, just send me the man that you want me to have. And when God sent me that man, I knew he was my husband. We already was connected in the spirit realm. And I thank God that I was obedient to the call to wait on him. I don't know if it's some of you here today that desiring to have a husband. You desire to have a husband. But I know if you wait patiently on the Lord and seek him, he will align you up to that mate that he has planned for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can we identify some people in the Bible who was depressed? Can we identify? It was many of them. Amen? We had Job. He was depressed. We had Jonah. He had a ruler of spirit. Amen? He was depressed. It was so many that you really can find in the Bible that had the same spirit. So what I'm trying to say is that depression was back in the Bible days and is still alive today. But God has given us a way of an escape, and we don't have to take on the spirit of depression. We have the right and we have the authority to confess our sins. Amen? What I have learned is a lot of times we can bring depression among ourselves prematurely by walking in disobedience and doing the things that is not of God. When I got depressed some years ago, God began to show me that a lot of the depression that I was up under, I caused it myself. And a lot of it took precedent about just little itty bitty things like getting 2 and 3 and 4 credit cards, you know, just buying this and buying that. And when the bill come, I can't pay the bill, you know, just mishandling my finances and causing things to come upon me. And when God showed me that I needed to learn how to handle my finances, then I can overcome this. And when I began to learn how to handle my finances, then things start lining up with me. Amen. So what I want to say to you today, that there is hope. And while we're here at the camp, and even on last night's message was so powerful to me, and it really gave me that extra boost today to just stand before you to even teach today, because a lot of us are in the pit, and we have been in the pit, but we know that God has delivered us out of the pit. Amen? And I know that, you know, being in the ministry, you know, you run up against all kind of different spirits, and even out there in the field, and Carla can contest to that, being out in the mission field, you know, we run into so many spirits, so many things, and I've just been praying and saying, Lord God, keep us, because we need to be kept, and then a lot of times we don't have intercessors, and I say, Lord, give us intercessor that would truly, truly, Lord God, will intercede for us. When my husband got ready to go to Jamaica in January, we got the word back that if he come, that they was going to kill him or the word would not come forth. It was, what was that? It was some people got together and called themselves going to conjure up spirits to keep him from coming over to Jamaica and bringing a deliverance ministry over there. So the pastor called my husband and told my husband what was going on, and we began to gather up the intercessors. We called churches and people that we know that know the word of God to intercede and pray for us. And I tell you, God moved. They had prostitutes, drug dealers, all was coming to the camp meetings for to get deliverance, laying down their weapons, coming in respecting God's house, and the deliverance went forth, and it was a mighty move of God. So I know that intercessor is powerful. It's much needed. We need it. Amen? You know, I love the scripture of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, where he told Cyrus that he would go before him and make the crooked places straight, and he would break the bars of iron, and he would show you the secret hidden mystery of treasures. That's a scripture that I read daily along with the 91 song, because I know that being in deliverance ministry, we need help. We need the prayers. Amen? Because the enemy do not want to see God's works go forth. And what I want to say to Lake Hamilton, I know God is pleased with Lake Hamilton doing a powerful work of deliverance, where we can come from all over the world and come and sit and dine with God while he come and bring deliverance to our precious soul. Amen? So I know that God is pleased with Lake Hamilton, and I'm praying that we will have much more and many more places like Lake Hamilton to be able to, you know, bring deliverance. The world is hurting. We got a dying world out there. A dying world out there that needs our help. Deliverance is for everybody. It's not certain people. It's not just for me or for you. It's for all of us. Amen. He has given this to all of us. Amen? I keep getting off my depression, so I'm just going to flow with how God has me. Amen? I wanted to talk about depression. But anyway, I just wanted to encourage you today. And I know, like I said earlier, this is my first time. But I wanted you to kind of get a feel of who I was and what I do and where I come from. And there's so many obstacles that I had overcome. But as I'm talking to you now, I'm sensing that the Lord is saying to me, he wanted me to give a testimony about my father. I don't know if anybody is here that's dealing with not having their father in their life, or the father has not accepted them, or he left them at an early age. But here, what happened to me, and my father left my mother when I was 6 months old. When I met my father again, I was 22 years old, coming home from the service to spend time with my mother. She never talked about my father or said anything bad to say he was no good, he was this. She never put those type of thoughts in my head. She always kept me at a level of trust God. You know, God would handle it. He would do it. She never said anything bad. So when I saw him, it was like we met before. We met before. And I began to just treat my father like he always been in my life. The love of God just had overshadowed me for my father. But anyway, back in 2009, when I was over in Bahamas preaching, and I knew that my father was dying of prostate cancer, and God has given me a choice to totally forgive my father. I just say, I'm not going to see about him. I don't care what happened to him. He was not there when I was young. He did this. He did that. I had all the opportunity, all the choices to choose if I wanted to forgive my father, walk in love, to have the blessings of the Lord. So anyway, I called my father I'm going to back up a little bit. I called my father 2 days before I went to Bahamas, and I talked with him, and he told me, baby girl, I love you, and we talked briefly and just, you know, talked how much we love each other. And after I hung up the phone and I was on my way to Bahamas 2 days later, I got a phone call 2 days after I was in Bahamas that he passed. And I think I talked about that a little bit in Bahamas. I gave the testimony because I had to make a choice. Either I can go to Bahamas and preach God's word, do the work of the Lord, or I can stay back and just see what's going to go on with my father, as, you know, if God's going to take him or whatever. But I chose to go forth and do the work of the Lord. But to make a long story short, my father, I knew he had a lot of guilt on him. And I knew that he had a hard time receiving the love that I was pouring out on him. I poured out so much love to him to let him know that I had the love of God in my heart. You know, and I was not holding anything against you or what you have done. I was not there when whatever problems you had with my mother. But I know it's my responsibility to forgive you and to have a peace of God in my life. Amen. And so I felt it so good to be able to just show my father that love regardless of what he had done, because it was not about me. And I think when we get to a place and we know that it's not about us, it's about Jesus, then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love that scripture, and I think that's Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto my own understanding, but in all his ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God is directing all of our paths today, but we must choose what path we want to go on, whether it's the path of the Lord or it's the path of someone else. But I'm here to tell you today, choose the path of the Lord. It is everlasting, it's eternally, and it is forever rewarding. And if there's anything that you're holding against anybody, forgive them. Release it. If you're having problems or anything going on with you, release it. You will find that a lot of your ailments in your body is coming from unforgiveness. I got some deliverance again this morning. And I'm feeling so good today. And I just thank God for it. Because I'm here to get all that I can get from God. I came here expecting. I came here to receive. And I plan to get everything that God has for me. And if you're here today and you're struggling with some things that you want God to deliver you from, don't hesitate getting what you need. Amen? I guess I'm not going to depression, I guess, because you're taking me on. Not now, just popped in my spirit, my mother. Give the testimony of my mother. Well, anyway, back in 1996, my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And I cried out to the Lord, and I always used to tell the Lord, take me, don't take my mother, but she was my best friend. You know, she taught me how to be a young lady. She taught me how to live. And I always prayed, say, Lord, don't take her. So I remember one day at work, and I heard this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit whispered to me and say, repair yourself. It was a soft voice. And I called my two sisters and I said, you know, I heard this voice say, repair yourself. I said, you think that God is going to go ahead and take mom? And one of my sisters said, no, I don't think he's going to do it. And one just didn't know. But I began to have the peace of God in my spirit. And as I began to go over to my mother's house, she was so frail. She reminded me of Job, where he said that the flesh fell off his bones. Because her flesh, on her bones, the flesh began to just wave like this. And so I remember when I was sitting talking with her, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, if she's not able to go to church, you bring the church to her. So I began to minister to her. I began to pray for her. I laid hands on her. We had Bible study. We sung songs, whatever her heart desired. I wanted to make sure that she got whatever she needed. Amen. But this particular day, you know, I had came over to see her, and she told me, she began to, I guess I would go and say, she prophesied into my life and told me what God was going to do in my life and what to expect. And everything that she had told me has come to pass. And I began to listen to her, and she began to just go into this stage of like she was getting ready to just leave. And I kind of got kind of nervous and scared, so I called my sister over to run over because I thought God was getting ready to take my mother right then. But anyway, my mother didn't leave until that Friday. God took her home that Friday. That Tuesday, she called me and she said, call hospice. She said, I want to go to hospice. So I called hospice, and hospice, you know, they sent the ambulance to pick her up and everything. So when we got her to the hospital, I just talked to her. So that next day, I had made up my mind that I wasn't going to the hospital because I was tired, I was worn out, I was taking care of my mama, trying to take care of a full-time job, trying to see about my son. Just so many things were going on at one time. So I was overbearing. I was really overbearing. And so this particular day, as I was leaving my job, and my job was like a good 15 miles from to the hospital. So when I got there, my mother had stopped talking. And I looked at her, and she began to just have a lot of waste come from her body. And I called the nurse and asked the nurse what was going on, and she explained to me what was going on. So anyway, at that time, I hadn't got the peace of God that he was getting ready to take my mother, because he had already promised me to prepare myself. He's going to take her. So he took her that Friday. And when he took her that Friday, I had such a peace, because I knew in my heart that I'd done everything that was pleasing to God. My sister, and I can talk about her now, and I'm going to also ask for prayer for her later, but my sister, who refused to come to help out, to do anything, she took it so hard, she was not able to really practically live. And I constantly told her, I said, give her flowers while she's living now. Give them to her. Show her the love that she seeks, that she desires. But she said she couldn't come. She couldn't come. I said, okay. So when she passed and we had the funeral, she just took it so hard. But make a long story short, my sister today has opened up the door to the enemy where he is about to steal her mind. I mean, she's now saying that some man is walking up in her roof. She can hear him. And he's doing this to her. He's doing that. Can familiar spirits do that? Yes, they can. But in her mind, she says a physical body is up in her attic. And I have constantly talked with her and explained to her, if a physical body was in the attic, he would have been dead by now. Do we know how hot it is in the attic, right? But I tell you, and my heart aches for her, and I can see that ever since of my mother's death, how the enemy has creeped in and how she has opened the door, and she refused to realize that there's hope. In her mind, this is taking place. In her mind, he is doing this to me, and we have tried and tried and tried. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm just going to pray and just intercede for her. But my heart goes out to her because I see what the enemy is trying to do to her. Amen? And what I wanted to say to you all today as well is that the enemy is going to come. But don't let him detour you. If many of you here today has been rejected by loved ones, you have been rejected by friends, you have lost your jobs, the finances is not up to par, it's so many things that is coming against you. But stand. Trust God today. Many of you are expecting for God to move. Continue to expect that. His promises is still good today. Amen. Many of you here today are going through so many problems with your children, but God is still a deliverer. He is still a deliverer. I want to give this another testimony of my son, since we are on the thing about children. I have one biological son, as I stated. Cheryl Batt had spoke on arrested development, which was a powerful message some years ago that I was blessed to hear from her. And, you know, and a lot of things that I took from that and was praying, because my son was born under the bastard curse. And under the bastard curse, I had a lot of problems with him. Back and forth, doing things, hanging with the wrong crowd, doing this, doing that, and just getting in so many different things. So I prayed, I interceded, and I tell you, this boy had took me through so many changes. I was not able to even go to work. I was sick on my stomach. I was just going through so many different things. And I said, Lord God, and I just heard the Holy Spirit say, release him. And when I began to release him to the Holy Spirit, a peace came upon me. When the peace of God came upon me, my son ended up going to prison. He went to prison for 3 years, which he's still in there. He gets out February of this year. And I have been ministering to him through letters and on the phone. And I told him many of times that a lot of times when we walk in disobedience, a lot of things happen to us. But back to the bastard curse, I began to break the curses off of him. And also I had to start with me because it started with me. And as I began to break it off of me and then start dealing with him, then I got some freedom. He got some freedom. He's talking different, but we know that it's much, much work. And I know that God is going to bring deliverance to him as well. Amen. But I tell you, as I stand to hear today, that God has brought me from a mighty long ways. If many of you hear that the spirit of fear has seized you as well, and that you desire to stand behind the podium to speak to people, God can do that for you. He will open up those doors. He will open up the floodgates. The Bible says your gifts will make room for you and bring you before great men. It's nothing that we as man would do. It's what God is going to do. I'd rather be a God pleaser than to be a man pleaser, because God don't want us to please man. He wants us to please him. Amen. I never really, really thought that I would be in ministry, standing up here, talking to people, or even just ministering in the islands. I never thought that. I said, Lord, can you use me, Gene? He said, yes, I can. I can use you. So each one of you today can be used by God. None of us are better than the other. And many of you wants to be used. Many of you wants to get into deliverance. You want to be used by God. And I believe that God is going to do that for you. God is going to move in your life, and he's going to do that for you. I tell people all the time that I feel like I'm not worthy to even stand up before people. I feel like, you know, I should be sitting in the chair receiving all the time, not standing up giving out, because I don't feel that way. But God has convinced me now that I am somebody. I am somebody. I might not have the BA, the MA, the PhD behind my name, but I am somebody. Amen. God is not bound by degrees, but we know living in this world, we have to go by guidelines and different things that we have to have degrees. Amen. To certain levels. And I just thank God that I don't have the mindset of the world that I feel like I got to go and gather all these degrees to be somebody, because he can use me just as I am. And he said, if I open up my mouth, he'll speak through me. And I constantly pray John 3:30, Lord, you increase so I can decrease. Amen. Because it's not about me. I want him to always get the glory. Because when we remind God that he gets the glory, then he can go to work and he can trust us with some more. Amen. And I just thank God that he has allowed me to be able to go to different countries and do a lot of things that I haven't had the desire to do on my own, other finances. And I just thank God that even in December, you know, I'm believing God for Africa, you know, and Lord, only God knows, you know, how that's going to happen. But I'm trusting God for the finances. Many of you here is trusting God for finances. Many of you came on E saying, Lord, I only got what I have. And he knows that. But I'm here to tell you today, the sacrifice that you made will make a difference. He's pleased with that. A lot of sacrifices has went forth. And when you step out on faith and you give a sacrifice, then God can move. Amen. You begin to see God move tremendously. I have given and I have done a lot of things, and to step out on faith, and God turned it around. He turned it around for me. And I thank God for it. There's many of you believing God for, you want some breakthroughs. God is a breakthrough. He's a breakthrough. He can open up the floodgates. Amen. He's the only one that can do it. He just need a willing vessel that would trust him, that will believe him and that will have the faith that he is a deliverer. As I said earlier, I'm an encourager. I'm here to encourage you. You are mighty women of God. And I just thank God again that I had the opportunity to stand before you and that you would take even what I have put out to you today. I know it has been a lot of testimony. That's the way God wants to go. I don't want to just get up here and just give you something that I want to say. You know, I want to be able to touch you right where you're at. I want you to say, well, Lord God, you know, Jean was up here. You know, she was giving her little testimonies and her fear is gone. She's not shy anymore. She's able to stand before man and preach your word and talk. And I know if you did it for her, you can do it for me. Amen. Many of us has been born under curses. Many of us. In my family, the curse of not graduating, not getting degrees. I decided that it's time to break it. I'm the only one in my family who's been to college. I have broken the spirit off of this family. And it is time for us to break these curses. God has given us power. Amen. And I just thank God that I have gotten the revelation. I have gotten the knowledge. I can take his word. I can apply it to my situation. I can apply it to my circumstances. And I can go forth in him. Amen. I know it's just, what, 2 o'clock? What time? 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock? But like I said, I just wanted to just pretty much talk with you today. And if you have questions, I even want to open up a question. If you have questions, if I can answer, I answer. If not, I have Carla here as well. I have Cheryl Batts here. And also, if you want me to stand in the gap to intercede with you, because I want to have time where we can all come together, we can pray, we can intercede for one another, because we know that deliverance is more important than anything. Amen. So if any of you today feel like, you know, I want to find me a ministry who's moving in deliverance. I want to be used by God. I want the spirit of fear to be gone. And you just want some prayer today, then prayer is available for you today. And I know that Jared McGee is going to be also doing deliverance at 3 o'clock. I think it's 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. But again, I just wanted to just tell you a little bit about me, who I am, where I came from, and know that I truly love God, and I would not have it any other way, that God can deliver you. He is a deliverer. Take his word, apply his word, believe in his word, don't doubt his word. He's all we got. We have no other choice but God. He wants us to trust him. Trust him in everything. I'm going to go ahead and talk just a little bit more because I still got a little time. Go ahead and talk a little about depression a little bit. Let's see here. I want to talk about how does depression affect you. It affects you through suicidal, fatigue. You'll find yourself where you used to can be around a person, but all of a sudden you can't. And have you where you want to be, secluded by yourself. And this is where the enemy wants you to be. And that way, if he can get you into that place, he can speak all the negativity to you. Amen? But God has given us a way of an escape. And that escape is through him, through deliverance. He's the father, again, of all lies, and he will always be the father of lies. Amen? The enemy wants us to be depressed. He wants us to think that there's no hope for our children. There's no hope for us. There's no hope for our loved ones. That we're helpless. We're a helpless case. But we are not a helpless case. We are somebody. I remember working for the adoptions program and for the foster care department some years ago. And I always wanted to be a foster parent, but I never became a foster parent because of the different jobs and traveling and going back and forth. But my sister became a foster parent. And my heart used to just cry out to those young girls and those young boys. And when I look at them and see how, you know, they are so torn going from this home to that home, from that home to this home to that home, how much rejection has been imparted in those children, it just tears my heart apart. And I always ask God, I say, Lord God, what can I do? What can I do to be a blessing? What can I do to help these children? Amen? But my heart goes out to the babies. It truly goes out to the babies. And I find myself many of times going back to the foster care department and talking to some of my friends and just getting some updates, because I like to do a follow-up on the kids that I used to deal with years ago to see where are they at now. You know, I love that, because I'm praying and interceding and believing God that He's going to deliver those children. And I know that He can do it. Amen? When you depress, what do? Do you sit and you wallow and let the enemy just speak to you? Or do you take authority over those spirits? God wants us to take authority over depression spirits. When I was dealing with that spirit, I'm telling you, I was the most miserable person you ever wanted to see. I was miserable. I hated myself. I wanted to be somebody else. And I stand to you today to tell you that no one wants to be a part of a depression spirit. And you don't have to have that spirit. God is a deliverer, and He will deliver you. Amen? I often pray and ask God, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Because my time is valuable to God. And I think that we all have to learn that don't take our time for granted. If we have time on our hand, be a blessing to somebody. Recently, God just dealt with me about He blesses me to be a blessing. That it's many that among you, even your neighbor, they might need bread, they might need water, whatever they need, be a blessing. You know, we have become a nation where we are a selfish nation. You know, it's all about me, myself, and I. But there's many of us out there are hurting. We need someone to just even give us a hug. We need someone to just say, it's going to be okay. And we have forgotten about them. We have forgotten about them. And God knows that He didn't make us that way. He wants us to be able to love one another. And I pray constantly to God, Lord, let me be pleasing to You. Don't let me, God, leave this world without doing the work that You have called me to do. God called us to do all that we can do. So we don't need to just sit and just let this time be wasted. It's much, much needed out here. As I told you earlier, I find myself loving to be over in the islands, because those people are so, I mean, they are so ready for God. They cry out for God. They love God. They don't even have half of the things that we have. Most of them don't have running water. Most of them don't even have food. And when I come back here from after we get through preaching over there, I find myself saying, Lord, forgive me if I've been walking in disobedience or complaining about this or complaining about that. Forgive me, because I have much more than I can ever have. When we have people don't even have more than what we have. There's many times my professor had me to write a paper about a week ago. Do I remember my first Christmas? And I remember my first Christmas as it was today, as we was growing up believing in Christmas. I remember my mother telling us, she said, I won't be able to get toys this year. I cried. And as I got older, I remember, you know, I started searching what Christmas really meant. So, but back in the day, growing up with my parents, so that's what my mother believed in. So anyway, I remember her saying that we won't be able to get any toys because the finances was not available. My four siblings, we cried. And we just believed God. We believed God. And 2 days later, we got a call. Someone had taken our names and given them to an agency, and they provided all the toys that our heart desired. And I remember that so many years ago, and I hold on to that today, knowing that there is nothing that God would not do for me if it's in His will. I hold on to that thought every day, knowing that God will provide. He will give us the things that we need. He will give us the tools that we need. And even as I'm speaking to you now, someone here has left a job. Don't even know how they're going to make it. God moved me from my job from Jacksonville, Florida, after 15 years running the health department. And I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, worked for Blue Cross and Blue Shields for 7 months. They laid me off. They sent my job to Virginia. I didn't have a job. I began crying out to God, saying, Lord God, Jesus, you know, I left my job. I did everything that you asked of me. I did everything that you told me to do. And here, I'm without a job. I don't have a job. What can I do? What can I do? And I remember laying prostrate on the floor with my face in the carpet, crying out to God. And I heard this voice spoke to me and say, now, will you let me take care of you? See, some of us have asked the Lord, Lord, I want more of your power. I want more of your anointing. I want to see your glory. I want to see if you move mightily. And when we say these things, God come back and he does however he wants to do it. Amen? So when I ask God to give me more, and I want to see more of his glory, more of his anointing, when these things start happening to me, when job went one way, son went this way, everything just went, just gone. Amen? But what he did for me, he came back, and this is unknown to the unemployment office. 2006, when Blue Cross and Blue Shields laid me off of my job in October, I received an unemployment check from 2006 of October to May of last year. This is unknown to the unemployment office. It was a divine appointment. He opened up the floodgates. He opened up a way for me to be able to travel to do his work. And one thing about God, he will make provision. If he promised you and he called you, he will make the provision for you. Amen? That's a promise of God. That's a promise. And today, I have not worked since 2006. And he has taken care of me. And I have not really wanted for nothing. Matter of fact, he reminded me, go in that closet. You'll see tags on those clothes that you haven't even worn because you had so much you couldn't even realize that you needed anything. Amen? So now I'm wearing clothes that I had in the closet back from a couple of years with tags on them. But here to say is that God will do the same thing for you. Let's not let Satan trick us that God would not provide, that he would not open up the doors, that he would not bless us, because he would do just what he said he would do. Amen? So I want to leave these words with you today, knowing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There is no problem too big for God. He said, lay every care at his feet because he cares just for you, which means that you are special to him. Each and every one of you are special to him. He sees no one better than the other. All of you are his children. You are my sisters. Amen. And I love each and every one of you. And again, I thank God for being here. I thank God for allowing me to have the opportunity just to give you testimonies. I had some stuff planned, but how many know that when you have something planned, no matter how many times I looked at that paper, I couldn't get it together. So if I kept playing with it and wrestling with it, it would have been a mess. Because that is not the way that he wants me to go, amen? So I have learned to listen. I have learned to walk in obedience to God. Because I'd rather give you what he wants me to tell you than to make a mess of myself. Amen? So I just thank God today, again, that he allowed me, that Lake Hamilton even allowed me to even stand up to this podium. I never thought in a million years that I'd be at Lake Hamilton just giving testimonies here. Never, never in a million years. But I give God the praise, and he's so dear to me, and I love him with my whole heart and soul, and I know that God is going to do the same thing for you. And again, if there's anyone here that wants prayer, are you having problems in finance, or whatever you want me to touch and agree with you, and I know Carla will assist me if I need her help. Is there anything that you want God to do for you? You're looking for a church home. You want to walk in deliverance. There are some things that you believe in God for, and you want us to just touch and agree with you. Sometimes we know that God don't want us to just go along and teach or speak. He wants to do deliverance. Amen?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.